I'd like to write the title of the talk this morning. Written on the board, Ordering of Life and Home. I'd like to read passage out of the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and we'll read verses 3 through 6. Again, Proverbs 24. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. A wise man is strong." Verse 5. "Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength." And it could also be said that a foolish man is not strong. Foolish man is not strong. A man that lacketh understanding, a man absent understanding, does not increase in strength. This passage that I read, where we started in verse 3, said that it was through wisdom that a house is builded, and understanding it's established, and by knowledge shall the chambers, the inside of the house, shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Through wisdom, a house is builded. We all have a house. We have a literal house, and we have a spiritual house. And so, this verse ends up touching all of us that are here today. We have a home we live in, figuratively and literally, different ways. And this verse also describes some of what is required to have a house, a life that is blessed with riches. I'm not speaking of silver and gold this morning, but pleasant fruit and life versus decay, deterioration, and sometimes death. This past weekend, I read a verse out of the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 19th verse. I believe it was verse 19. And the verse says, "I have set before thee life and death." I've set before thee, you, life on the one hand and death on the other, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I'll insert this part. Therefore, if that is your options, and it is, you have life and blessing on one side, and you have death and cursing on the other, therefore, choose life. Why would we want to choose the other? Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. In other words, he's speaking to someone, get a hold of this, and that one, I believe, is speaking to each one of us individually, that each one of us individually, we have life and we have death set before us. And you choose life. You as an individual choose life that you might live, but it didn't stop there. It said, so that also your seed might live too. What you choose has a great influence and effect on those that are in your sphere of influence, that are around you. I want to be committed to life this morning. And for myself, and to the extent that I can, that I would be a positive influence on those that are around me. A number of Sundays ago, we spent some time emphasizing the importance of considering range of outcome. You remember that? Range of outcome. In other words, if I'm getting ready to make a choice that I think about before I make the choice, what are the likely and or possible outcomes of this choice? Not what I want to be the outcome as much as what are the possible outcomes. If I do this, what could result? And you give it consideration like that. Why? Because if we consider a range of outcome when we make decisions in life, it can help us make better decisions. Absent just making decisions according to the first thing that comes to our mind and according to our feelings and emotions. Well, I just want to do this. We'll stop. We'll be still and we consider. We think about what could happen. That we can make better decisions. Well, why is that important? Why is it important to make better decisions in life? It's because decisions and actions that we take, they have consequences. They have consequences that reach farther than yourself. The decisions that we make often have consequences that are much more significant than we at first thought. And our lives influence other people. I've learned to know this the older that I get. The more I realize how much people influence other people. Sometimes we say, well, I'm not affected by other people. It's not an influence to me. I make my own decisions. I do my own thing. And I can be around all that, but it doesn't affect me. What they say, doesn't bother me. And the reality is we're human beings, and we are influenced by other people. It doesn't mean that we just do what everybody else wants us to do, but we're influenced by other people. I want to make good decisions for myself and other people, realizing that decisions that I make have significant consequences. And I suppose this morning that it doesn't get any more important than giving consideration to how I'm going to order my life and my home. I have a life, and you have a life. And most of us eventually will have a home that we will call our home. And there isn't anyone that is more responsible for your life and your home than you. And the decisions that you make regarding your life and your home have consequences. And I'm thinking this morning, it's where my burden is, that I'm thinking about decisions that we make that have consequences that go beyond the moment and beyond the day. I'm thinking about consequences or the consequences of decisions that happen downstream of the moment of decision. There are some decisions that we make in life that don't necessarily affect that much downstream. Whether I decide to eat dinner tonight or not, probably is not going to have a huge effect on the rest of my life. Whether I choose to go to town tonight or wait till tomorrow, probably isn't. And my message is not that the Lord can use the moments that, you know, I know there is that the moment matters and we might meet somebody in the morning rather than tonight. That's not my message. My message is decisions that we make, some of them in life, don't necessarily affect the moments and days of my life downstream. But there are other decisions that I can make that I cannot easily hit the rewind button on, that I cannot easily hit pause. There are decisions that I can make, that I do make, that have to do with my life and my home, that in fact affect and influence my moments and my days going forward. Some don't, but some do. And those decisions that we make today, tomorrow, in the moment, sometimes it's not in the moment, sometimes it's over the course of time, but those decisions that we make then have an influence with significant consequence on the moments, on the days that happen downstream. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? And that's where my burden is this morning. My burden has been that we have teaching on practical application of day-to-day Christian living. That we're able to wrap our arms around in a better way, be able to have greater vision and insight into how specific decisions that we make influence our lives in a way that we can get a hold of it. So ordering of life and home, shaping hearts is part of that. This verse that we read said, through wisdom is a house builded by understanding. It is established by knowledge. Shall the chambers be filled? A well-ordered home, a well-established life is built on wisdom. It's built on understanding. Not just trial and error, folks. Lord, help us make some of these decisions where we don't make decisions just on trial and error. Sometimes we can go through life and say, well, I just want to experience it for myself. I'm going to try this, and if it doesn't work, well, then I'll try something else. But there are some decisions that we make in life that have to do with our lives, that have to do with the ordering of our homes, that I would like to make the decision so that I don't go through the rest of my life maimed. I would rather not lose my leg, but then be able to say, well, I sure am glad I learned not to do that. I learned from experience. I learned firsthand. I shouldn't do that. I lost my leg. And I would rather, by wisdom and understanding and knowledge, seeking after, giving myself to best understand, to know ahead of time some of the decisions that are going to affect the whole rest of my life. And I know that some learning only comes by experience. And I quote different times that we live going forward and we learn looking backwards often. But brothers and sisters, there are some decisions that we make that I don't want to have to learn looking backwards. I want to be able to make decisions based on knowledge and understanding and wisdom so that I don't have to go through life maimed. So that I don't have to go through life looking backwards and saying heartache and disappointment and deterioration and decay and loss of life and unhappiness, absence of fulfillment, unnecessary difficulty in life. I'd rather avoid that. And we have a lot of young people here. We have some youth and some teenagers and some young marrieds. And this is what I've learned too. None of us get past the place that we can't learn. I'm on a journey. I have so much to learn yet in my life. I have not spiritually arrived in my life. And so by the help of the Lord, these sorts of messages maybe can help all of us. I desire to have a home. I desire to have a life that is spiritually and emotionally grounded in such a way that I can make decisions based on wisdom and understanding as soon as possible. As soon as possible. So this morning, for a few minutes, I'd like to list some specific life critical decisions that we make. And there's no way this morning I'm going to have time to speak to all of them, and I'm not going to try to speak in depth to any of them, but I'd like to lay a foundation and write some of these things up here for your consideration. I suppose there is not a greater, more important decision that we make in life than marriage. The person that you marry has everything to do with your temporal, your spiritual, your eternal life. The person that you marry has a way of affecting your moments and your days after it happens. Marriage represents so much, and it not only represents so much, it is the type of commitment that there is nothing else like it in life. And yet sometimes I feel like we make this decision, sometimes we are at least in a position to know how to make it well. And so we need the Lord. This is not a decision to make out of emotion and feeling only. Yes, of course, there's emotion and feeling that is involved with marriage. Probably the highest that it will be with anything else. And I just want to make this clear at the start of this message that, of course, choosing Jesus Christ as your personal friend and Savior and giving your life to Him is the most important decision that you will ever make and will affect everything else that happens in life. I hope that goes unsaid. But the next decision that is made, that is right below that and almost connected to it because it has so much to do with it, is this decision right here. If you're not married yet, purpose in your heart to seek the Lord, to give you wisdom, to give you understanding, that you might make a decision that you look farther than the emotion and feeling of the moment, that you get the will of the Lord, and that you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results in making decisions that He'll be pleased with. And this is one of the ones at the top of the list. It's a subject all on its own. People and places of fellowship. And we're speaking of the ordering of your life and your home. And remembering that the decisions that I make in my home, and if God blesses you with children, that your decision is not only about you, but it is about your children. Choose life that you might have life as well as the seed that follows you. The people that you choose to surround yourself with, the places that you choose to go, the places that you choose not to go, the diet of your life, relative to people and places, and I put people and places of fellowship. You can fellowship at all kinds of places beyond just a church house. Be careful. Think about the standard that you're setting, the influence that this has on your life so that it can result in growing in Jesus Christ, knowing who He is, reflecting Jesus Christ to the world, making heaven and helping others make heaven too. Your children are going to watch who you associate with. Other people, if you don't have children, watch who is most important to you that you're around. Where are you fellowshipping? Yes, it includes where you go to church. Do you go to church where truth is preached? Where the whole truth is preached? Where the Spirit of God is present? Or do you choose to go somewhere else that maybe is easier on the ears? That maybe is allows more degrees of freedom in however people want to live, but they can still come to church and say, I go to church regularly, and I can go home, and I don't have to feel really guilty about anything. Where do you fellowship? What's important to you? You have people that are learning from you, whether you want them to learn from you or not. Your soul is at stake. You have a life. You have a house. Do you want it to be filled with riches, goodness, and pleasant fruit? You have people watching on how important it is to you, on what your priority is, on the frequency of your fellowship, so that you can't go and just cross it off, but is it important to me in life? Where you live? We have some people here in the house still, and you're going to eventually, Lord willing, you're going to get out of the house and you're going to have to make a decision on where you live. Maybe it's on such and such a street, 3 miles from mom and dad, or it may be that you say, you know what, I've always wanted to live in this far off place. It looks really cool, and I've always wanted to go there. That's where I'm going to go live. And sometimes people do that, and they get out and they go a long ways away. I'm not saying that's wrong or right. But what I am saying is, this is a real live decision that you have to make in life. And it may be, I'm going to stay put. That's a decision. That I'm going to stay in the same area. But where you live is going to affect the whole rest of your life. It's going to affect your life in your home, where you live. Because you know what else it affects? It affects the people and the places that you're around. Where you live has a lot to do with that too. If not just for you, if the Lord blesses you with children, it's going to have something to do with who they may marry. Where you live, as you young people, as you get to that place in life where you start making these sorts of decisions, be careful that you don't just make them on the spur of the moment, out of emotion and feeling, because it always looked good to you. There's a lot of places that I can think of that would be pleasing to the flesh to live perhaps differently than where we live. Maybe where you live or where I've ever lived. But life is more than that. I want to be where God wants me to be. He has called us to serve. He has called us, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And it is possible that He has a special place for you in the body of Christ. And there is, in a particular season of life, a place that He would like for you to be. And if that's the case for me, I want to know where that is. And it may change. It may not be the same all the way through your life. It wasn't for me. And it may not be for you. Make that decision carefully. Where you work. We have folks here that are making decisions on where they're going to go to work. What they want to do when they get out and make a living for themselves. Where you work has something to do with where you where you work. You hear it say that many times, at least in some seasons of life, you spend as much of your waking hours at work as you do with your family. Thought about that? Spend a long time at work. Sometimes if you work outside of the house. And not all places, not all options are conducive to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results knowing God, growing close to the Lord, reflecting Christ, making heaven, helping others make heaven. You see, this is the reason why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Let that be what helps guide in these types of decisions so that when we make these decisions, they affect then the moments and the days, sometimes every single day. It's more than what am I going to eat today, and if I don't like it, well, tomorrow's a new day. It's that these things will go with you day after day after day in your life. And in your home. Can you read? Is it getting too low? Can you read what I've written? Outward presentation. Does that make a difference in days and moments in life? Outward presentation. Each of us carry with us a spirit. Each of us, as we live life, we project to those around us behaviors and spirits, kind spirits, good spirits, godly spirits, or otherwise. It influences other people. And yes, our presentation even has to do with our apparel too. This whole our presentation thing in its whole, sometimes we can get caught up and talk only about our presentation, which is biblical. It is important. Because Jesus Christ said, be a light to the world. I want to go out into the world and I do not want them looking at me, and the first thing that they see is something that is contrary to what Jesus teaches. But not just in how I dress, but in my attitudes and in my spirit. This often begins to define or build an identity that other people have of you. Now, perhaps it's not what you believe your identity is, but I want to choose life not just for myself, but those that I influence. And so, yes, it matters how I project myself to the world. Would it make you nervous if I said, the reason I ask this is because it gives me pause, makes me think, that when you say somebody's name, you know, if you're talking together and you say, what do you think about when I say the name such and such? And you, and in fact, tell me in 30 seconds what comes to your mind. 30 seconds. Did you know that all of us here today, however uncomfortable it may be, that if your name was the one that was brought up, I'm going to say it like it is, that we all have a perception of each other on how you have become defined in the eyes of other people. Oh yeah, I know who they are. We had a neighbor that we didn't know for a long time, and we just referred to him as the fisherman. Because everything he did spoke of fishing. We didn't know his name. He said, oh, the fisherman down there, such and such. And would you believe it? We
getting known, and he was a fisherman. Makes a difference. Affects other people. Affects your children. You set the standard on what the norm is in your own home. For your children coming on, they see how you present yourself, what you say, what you don't say, how you respond, yes, what you put on, what's important to you. They see it, and it has an effect. There's another one down here. Home atmosphere, practices, and culture. Those that have just been married, those that will have homes in the future, everyone here that has a home, your home has kind of a unique atmosphere. It's maybe a little different than other people's homes. You have practices in your homes that is normal in your home. There's, if you will, a culture in your house. I'm speaking of a literal home at the moment. And if you have children that come up in that home, that atmosphere, the practices that are established, the culture that is there, has profound impacts on their little hearts and their minds, on what they begin to view as normal, those things that begin to shape their hearts and their lives. And one of these days, they may be up here at this place, and they're going to establish their own home. And you know where they start from? This becomes something that is now compared against in many other things in their own home. And it follows people throughout the course of their whole lives. Their moments and their days. What am I going to allow in my home? What practices are going to be in my home? What is the atmosphere going to be like? What things are we going to choose to talk about and not talk about in our home, particularly in the hearing of our children? How are we going to treat each other? Are we going to put the Lord first in our home? Is it going to be evident? Are we going to carve out time in our home? Is there going to be an atmosphere in our home where it's most important to us than anything else that we can invite the Lord in and say, holiness unto the Lord, regarding what is shown, what is played, that we listen to with our ears, that we take on? We're going to make these decisions in life. Don't do it just according to emotion and feeling. Have time for one more. Time and money. How you spend your time. The little bit of time that we have. We have an unlimited amount of time. A limited amount of time. Limited. Can't spend and do everything we might want to do. So you have to make choices on how you're going to spend your time. In your home, in marriage, at work, people and places that you go, you're going to have to take this little amount of time and make decisions with it. You're going to have to make decisions on what you do with the money that you have. Are you going to spend money you don't have? It can affect your moments and your days for life if you let it, in an adverse way. One of the leading causes of trouble in marriage is mismanagement of time and money. Now, I know there's exceptions to this, and you've heard me say this, but there's this little saying. Show me your calendar and your checkbook, and I'll show you your heart. I don't know the exceptions, but the point is, See, this is where we live each day, isn't it? Marriage, where we go, the people that we're around, where we live, where we work, decisions that we make on how we're going to present ourselves to the world, decisions that we make when we're inside the house, and what we do with our time and money. This is where we live. And every person in here this morning, every single person, has been profoundly influenced by every one of these things, either directly or indirectly, from decisions that you've made regarding these things, or decisions that somebody else has made regarding these things. But all of us have been affected by them, and the consequences are not insignificant. Consequences are significant. And so the writer of Proverbs here spoke of wisdom is a house builded. Understanding, it's established. Knowledge shall it be filled with good things versus the alternative, which disappointment, decay, and loss. And, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. If I could only do this over again. And it is why Jesus Christ said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, there was a verse this morning. Young man had a verse. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what did Jesus say? All these other things will be added unto you. If we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in our marriage, in the people and places that we surround ourselves with, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness on where we live, on where we work, and decisions we make in our presentation to the world, in our home atmosphere and practices, and how we spend our time and our money, the Lord said, if you'll seek me first in those things, I'll add to you a lot of these other things that can be blessings in your life. These can be blessings in your life in ways that they otherwise would not be. And so the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom to affect the whole rest of your life, your moments and your days, those consequential decisions that follow you all through the course of your life? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Seek him to make these types of decisions. So I'll conclude with this reinforcement. Allow for significant time investment, consideration, prayer when you make these sorts of decisions. Don't leave decisions that have to do with this to just trial and error. I know there's some of that. It is so important to do what we can ahead of time to get some knowledge and some understanding. Make these decisions according to wisdom, that we not be left with chambers in our home, in our lives, that are empty. Let's purpose this morning to be careful and deliberate with these decisions. And if we will, yes, there's going to be mistakes that we make. And I do want to insert this before I close. This is a gospel of hope. The hope of the gospel. And we don't always make these decisions right. We make mistakes in these decisions. We err in these decisions often because we're human. We are not going to get it all right. And there are times where we do things in some of these areas that affect the whole rest of our lives and the lives of others. And we look behind us and say, why did I do that? And we can feel like all is lost and I've been a failure and can't reverse it. And some of them you can't reverse very well. There is hope of the gospel. Yeah. Jesus Christ can do things you never thought possible. Jesus Christ can take things that you feel like have been cemented in your life and in the lives of other people, things that maybe he wouldn't have sanctioned in the beginning, but he can take all circumstances of our life and he can work them for good. So, let's go through life with hope and expectation. Do the best that we know how to do to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness as we make these decisions. And if and when we err, I should have been getting all of this right. When we err, we have a Jesus we can go to that can help get us back on a path where our chambers can be filled with riches and goodness.